Hey, this is Dr. Shervin. Muskoka Magazine is brought to you by Dairy Lane Dental, keeping Muskoka smiling for over 30 years. Please visit DairyLaneDental.com.
Welcome. You're listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay and MuskokaUnlimited.com. Thanks for listening. We have a great guest to chat with today. Let's get right into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. You know what you're listening to by now. It's probably already been in the preview, but you're listening to Muskoka Unlimited podcast. I'm your host, Chris, as usual, and you're listening to us on 88.7 FM The Bay or online at MuskokaUnlimited.com. Today, we have an amazing guest, a wonderful lady, a wonderful author. Her name is Jenny Kressman. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Finally.
Finally. We had a couple of rescheduling moments. So Jenny, we're here. We're talking about Cuban Kisses. It's your new book that you've authored. Basically, obviously based some of the stories in Cuba. Mm-hmm. Now we're gonna jump right into this because we talked about this before through email about how it's very character driven and mm-hmm. how and you had heard me talking to Jennifer Turney about how, you know, I really love character driven stories,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the, you know, how this book came to be and the characters and how that kind of developed.
Okay. Well, it started kind of as a joke, actually. My husband was teasing me. There was this book, Fifty Shades of Grey, that was doing really well and making millions of dollars. So he said, hey, why don't you write some smut and make us a bunch of money? And so okay, why not? So, and that's partly why the first sex scene is almost right away in the yeah. one of the first three chapters. Boom, there you are. But it turned out to be so much fun that I started taking it more seriously.
Yes.
And the characters started to just come alive as I was writing them, particularly Jackie, the heroine. And it was just like she was whispering in my ear, tugging at my sleeve and saying, I want to be a real girl.
Nice.
And so I just sort of took it from there and started developing a more serious plot line so she doesn't just go around having sex. So,
yes.
You know, she does other stuff too, and yeah. she meets people that she doesn't want to have sex with, and she still has a lot of sex, but does some horse riding on the beach and various things and goes on some tours into the local villages,
nice.
Learns about Cuban history and culture, and then that's reflected in some of the texts. She reiterates some of that as she's thinking about what she's yeah. read and learned. So it's not just a romance adventure. It's also information about yes. Cuba's history and culture.
Which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that because it's nice for you to be able to do more than just, oh, here's a romance novel,
yeah.
right? It's
yeah.
like, because I know that you love Cuba, you do tours to Cuba, literary mm-hmm. tours to
yeah.
Cuba, and have a passion for the place.
Yes.
For you to be able to, you know, kind of put some of that passion into this book, how does that make you feel that you're able to do that?
Well, when I started writing about Cuba in general, after I'd taken my first trip there in 2009, mm-hmm. and, you know, literally things started to bubble forth, poetry, personal opinion pieces, travelogues, and short pieces of fiction, short stories, and then this novel. And so I feel like Cuban Kisses and the whole series, because I've actually written three books in the series now that will be published
That's
sequentially.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it sort of amalgamates all of the things that were swimming around in my head. So it's like Jenny Brain Soup.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you have your main character.
Mm-hmm.
And who's kind of the antagonist in this book?
Well, she hooks up with this guy named Pepe.
Pepe.
Yes. Pepe is the handsome horseman she falls madly in lust with. And so she hangs out with him a lot, but he's also got a job. He's the horse guy at the resort, so
yep.
he has to take other people out on horse adventure tours and to the mountains and things like that, which is a real thing at that resort, actually.
Yes.
I've fictionalized it. He's a fictional character,
yes.
but that character is based on a real guy that
That's
works
awesome.
There. Yeah.
That's
Who
awesome.
Gave me permission to use
You're like, I want to use you.
Yeah. So it's not the character is not really like him exactly. Yes. It's his job. And he showed me the barn where the horses are kept because I wanted to set a sex scene there. So it's authentic in that regard.
Nice.
Yeah. And he also, this fellow actually also gave me a story from his youth when he was working at the resort as a young man.
Yeah.
And he said, and you can use that in your book if you want. So aww. I've included that little gem, what happened to him and how his first love of a tourist and yes. how things evolved with that. And so that's later in the book. And so this guy is key, of course. But then she also starts to develop a friendship with an older Canadian man.
Oh.
And I think I mentioned to you in an email about this character, John.
That yes.
I had initially thought he would just be kind of a walk-in, walk-out and, you know, not necessarily that important, just a foil for her so she could talk to other people besides the guy she was sleeping with.
Yes.
But he turned out to be a much more serious character. But I was still stuck with the name John, which just seemed like a basic, simple name. I just sort of tagged on because he needed to have a name. And it worked well in the context because it's Juan in Cuban.
Yes.
So it's a very common name. But he turned out to be an uncommon character. And so she develops a friendship. And then in the second book, he's an even more serious player.
Ah, nice. Look at that.
Without giving too much away.
Look at that little foreshadowing.
Yes. Yeah.
But I love how you decided to do a romance novel and rather than some sort of adventure or mystery. I mean, I guess you could throw adventure and mystery in a romance novel.
And I have.
And you have. And some humor.
Yes.
And so we're going to get into, Jenny's going to read an excerpt. It's going to be a humorous kind of excerpt later after the break. We'll do it after the break. So how long, I know you've been writing for a long time. How long have you been just like creative writing, like just kind of, you know, letting your brain go and write whatever comes to it?
Well, I've been writing since my youth.
Yeah.
You know, I started writing poetry in high school.
And yeah.
Many people do.
Yeah.
But I actually got one published. I was pretty proud of that. And then it sort of grew from there. I studied journalism and English in university and college. I studied both in the U.S. and in Canada.
Yeah.
And then started working for local papers.
Yeah.
And I worked for Muskoka Magazine and North Country Business as the editor for a number of years. Prior to that, I lived in the Ottawa Valley and worked for a weekly newspaper there for a long time.
Yes.
But I always had side things on the go. I mean, it didn't necessarily develop into anything more serious, but I was always doing little bits of creative writing. Oh, there was a wonderful poet in the Ottawa Valley, Patrick White, who
yes.
sort of mentored me to work on poetry at one point there.
Nice.
And he was Ottawa's poet laureate at one time. He's now deceased, but he was an amazing writer and creative individual, also a painter.
Yes.
And I think often it's interesting how things go hand in hand with creativity. It isn't just one thing.
No.
So I do photography as well. So I've always had different creative outlets, but not necessarily the bigger pieces like
yes.
this novel, which I'm so glad has finally come to fruition. The first one didn't. I didn't finish it, but this one is... And then the second and third are even better.
I know. And how did that happen where you were kind of like, okay, so I'm going to do one. And then did they just kind of, you know, just come together as like, okay, I finished one and now I want the next three? Or did it kind of did you have the idea to go, okay, one, two, three, I know I want to do this in number one. I want to do this. Like, did you plan that out or did it flow like naturally?
It was more of a natural flow thing.
Okay.
I'm not a big planner, typically, when it comes to writing or creative projects like that.
Yeah.
I just want to get into the flow. But I wrote Cuban Kisses as a standalone.
Yes.
And then my agent, Brenda Patterson of Grove Park, was shopping it around. And
yes.
the feedback she was getting was that it was a little bit on the short side.
Okay.
The bigger publishing houses, including one offshoot of Harlequin that looked at it very seriously.
Yes.
But then they liked the writing, but it was just a little short. So we ended up going back, and the book I was already in the process of writing as the sequel, we initially amalgamated with Cuban Kisses.
Yes.
But then it was too long.
Gotcha.
You can't win. So... So we were struggling with how what we wanted to do and how to present it. And then I encountered Emily Stroud of Ripple Press. She had just opened a publishing house here in Muskoka, in Huntsville, right in my own backyard. And I knew her and I knew her mother. And so I, you know, hooked them up with Brendan. We worked out a deal and she decided that, or well, we all worked together to make the decision that Cuban Kisses, even though it's a little shorter than some novels are, should actually be a standalone piece.
Yes.
And then Cuban Wishes will follow hot on its heels.
Yes.
And then as Cuban Wishes was in finished, then I immediately could see where I wanted to go with the third one and just started writing.
Gotcha.
So that's why all three are finished and ready to roll.
Ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love the idea that it's a little shorter, but that's okay. Because I'm not one for, like, I don't think length should matter. I mean, obviously, if you've only got 20 pages, that's not a novel. But what I mean is, once you get to a certain point and it's close enough to a novel length, I figure as long as the content is good, and as long as the quality of the writing is good, it, like, within a few pages, to me, even 100 pages, it's like, if it's within 100 pages of what you think, Is it quality? Does it? That, I don't think it should matter. And that's and you're right about the big publishing houses. They've got this kind of template what they're looking for,
and
right?
Yeah, very narrow in their definition of the genre they want to publish.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm glad that you were able to hook up with Emily. And it's local, and it's here, it's in our community, and we're keeping it in the community while also being able to promote it everywhere because of the World Wide Web, which is wonderful. Before we go on, we're going to take a quick break because they want me to, and the sponsors need to have their say. So I'm with Jenny Cressman, Muskoka Unlimited Podcast, 88.7 FM, The Bay. You know what you're listening to, or online, MuskokaUnlimited.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Shervin from Dairy Lane Dental, and you're listening to Muskoka Magazine.
And welcome back, everybody. If you haven't been listening, this is the Muskoka Unlimited podcast, and we are on 88.7 FM The Bay every second Sunday morning as part of Muskoka Magazine series of podcasts. Or you can listen to us on MuskokaUnlimited.com. Just click on the link. You know where we are. So Jenny Cressman's here. Wonderful lady. We've been talking about her new book, Cuban Kisses. Going to be quickly followed by Cuban Wishes and then a third sequel. And we have a humorous excerpt that Jenny is going to read for us. So I will give you the floor.
Okay. So let me just set this up a little bit. This is a scene where they're on a bus. They're going on a bus tour from the resort. And this is a common thing that's done at the resort that I've fictionalized in the novel, Morea del Portillo. So people who have been pretty much to any resort in Cuba will have an option to do these bus tours around to the local area. So in this case, they've just left the resort. They're heading down the road. And the tour guide is a Cuban woman who is giving them information. And I've named her Nellie in homage to Nelson, who is a very popular tour guide that used to work at that resort. So even though this is fiction and this never happened, you know, there's little sort of almost in jokes, if you will, just to make it fun, because I know a lot of the people who will be buying this novel are people who have actually been to that particular resort that I've, you know, fictionalized. Anyway, here we go. Nellie is just about to impart some pertinent piece of historic trivia when, all of a sudden, Tomas slams on the brakes and swerves dramatically, almost toppling Nellie. There's a dull thud. Nellie gasps and grasps her heart. Tomas begins moaning, "Mi madre, mi madre!" Nellie turns away from the road and scans the bus, asking if everyone is okay. We're a little shaken up, but nobody's injured. I realize, however, I'm clutching John's arm with a talon-like grip. He's lucky I no longer have long, sharp nails. I release my hold and ask, "Did you see what happened?" "I think we hit a cow. There were a couple beside the road, and it looked like one just bolted right out in front of us." "Oh dear, do you think we killed it?" "Hard to say. Tomas sure did his best to avoid it, but there was a definite impact." We all sit silently for a moment, contemplating the situation. Then, from somewhere near the back of the bus, a male voice breaks the tension by calling out, "Looks like steak tonight!" John's Aunt Jo leans over her shoulder and yells, "More likely hamburger!" By this time, Tomas and Nellie have left the bus to consult with a cowboy who has ridden up. Through the front window of the bus, I can see an animated conversation occurring, complete with heads being shaken and hands being tossed in the air. Then, behind the talkers, miraculously, the cow rises awkwardly, gathers herself, and staggers off to join the scattered herd. All human jaws drop, and heads swivel to follow her progress. She's limping a little, but nothing appears to be broken, mangled, or bloody. "Would you look at that?" a female voice a few rows back crows lamely. The earlier male voice can't resist further comment. "She's undead! We hit a zombie cow!" Relieved laughter is still echoing throughout the bus as Nellie and Tomas climb back on board. They want to know what's so funny, so John explains to them. "You know, it's like the Cuban zombie movie, Juan de los Muertos, One of the Dead." Once we're on the road again, Nellie clicks on the microphone and uses the incident to give us some background on the Cuban agricultural system. The government actually owns the cows, she tells us, not an individual farmer. So, if that cow had died, there would have been a big investigation and a mountain of paperwork to do. We are very lucky that actually, she pauses for dramatic effect, she was a Vaca de los Muertos, a zombie cow.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah, I love it. I throw in little humorous bits in between the sex and adventure and whatnot.
It's true. I love it. Like, and you need to. It can't just be about one thing.
Yes.
A good book has a whole bunch of stuff. And so from your perspective, like, what are some of the favorite things you like to read? Like, are you big on romance novels or do you like to kind of read? What do you read? Like,
I don't read a lot of romance novels, or at least I didn't. Now that I've written one, I've started reading them just to see how I stand up. So, I'm very eclectic in my taste. One of my favorite authors that I've read, his recent book, is Carl Hiaasen.
Okay.
Are you familiar with him at all?
I know the name. Yes. Okay. I haven't read a lot of his work. No.
The most recent one he wrote that I read was Squeeze Me, and it's very timely. So pick it up if you can.
Okay.
But he always has lots of wacky characters. And
I love that.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that appeals to me about his work is that what kind of crazy character is he going to throw at us this time? And there's always some kind of mystery and usually some angle regarding natural protection in Florida, which is where they're all set.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I hope that I am, you know, in that way, sort of a recognizable author in the future, that people will say, oh yes, Jenny's going to give us a great read set in Cuba primarily and lots of fun stuff, and you never know where it's going to go.
It's true. I think you will. Now, I did want to ask you to give some advice to, like, people working on a project, especially young writers, not so much people who've been around. Some people have been around, don't know what they're doing either. But give some advice. Like, what was your process as far as doing research? We talked a bit about how you came up with some of the characters, but I know you did research. Like, you didn't just be like, oh, here's my book, right?
Yeah.
You learned a little more about it. Like, when you talked about going to the stables and what was, like, your process doing that research to make sure that there was some accuracy in there?
Authenticity.
That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah.
I had been doing a lot of research and reading on Cuba because I literally fell in love with the country and the people when I went there. And so I wanted to learn more about the history and everything involved with it. So I was madly reading books and online things and just studying like crazy for my own personal interest.
Yes.
And then also to further my travel business, which I started leading tours in 2010.
Yes.
And so I wanted to be able to present information to people about the country and not just say, oh, well, you have to ask the guide. So it was for my own personal interest that I absorbed as much as I could, that I was able to then feedback out in a different format.
Yes.
So there are some parts about the Cuban history, for example, that are quite authentic according to my reading and my own filter.
Yes.
So when I was writing the book, sometimes I would go back and check some of my own references to make sure I had the order of occurrence correct, the names spelled correct, and all that sort of thing. So it was... Yeah, and I think the best writing comes from something you're personally interested in, something you love, something you know something about to begin with, and then you're interested and intrigued to learn more, and that comes forward in the writing, whether overtly or covertly.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's good. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think it's important to have a knowledge of some sort of topic and a passion for some sort of topic when you're writing, right? Like, I challenge myself to do different, obviously, as you know, having been in the journalism game, we have to write different styles and different ways a lot. And you challenge yourself to do that. But when you're writing about stuff you care about, whether it's nature, the environment, a place like Cuba, whatever, it tends to be better because you care and you know about it, and it comes out in that, right? Yeah. And I love that advice. Like, you should write about stuff you know and that you're passionate. That's really good advice for someone. What other advice would you give, quickly, because we have about 3 to 4 minutes left. So what other advice would you give to young aspiring writers on things they could learn to do to make themselves, I guess, better at their craft?
Try not to be repetitive, maybe, and take advice if somebody offers it. Not that you have to do exactly what the person says, but listen to it if it's meant as a, you know, genuine critique in a positive way, not just somebody being critical.
Yes.
One of the tools that I probably use the most is a thesaurus. Because I don't want to be repetitive, how I describe something. I try to avoid using the same adjectives. So,
it's true.
So, and believe me, the sex scenes were somewhat of a challenge. It's like, it's sex. Okay, what are they going to do this time? They got to do something different. Okay, how about this? And just to let you know, there are no throbbing members in this book.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, do you have to be comfortable with the P word?
Yes.
Can I say penis on word?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, it's a technical term. It's not like it's vulgar, right?
Right. Okay.
No, I love that, because I use the thesaurus all the time, even in just like when I'm writing news stories or news features or, you know, client story, whatever I'm writing, I use the thesaurus all the time. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. And then I find words sometimes that I forgot I knew. Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. I hear you.
And then, or that I didn't know, or that I thought I knew meant something else, but it's like actually could mean two things. Like, you know what I mean? Yes. You find things and you're like, oh, I forgot about that word and I love that word and I'm going to use it all week this week.
Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Then I'll forget it and use something different next week.
Exactly. But I love that. That's a great, that's a great point. Use your thesaurus. It's okay. It's a tool. Mm-hmm. That allows you to just express yourself better. Plus, you're educating yourself a little bit because you keep updating your own brain. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's so true. All right, Jenny, we're on the home stretch. So I'm going to get you to sign off with telling us, or last thing you're going to say, is to let us know about how we can pick up Cuban Kisses.
Well, the only place to get it at this time is through the publisher's website.
Okay.
So that's Ripple Press.
Yeah.
You can, if you go to Facebook, you can find author Jenny Cressman and there'll be links there, or just Google search Ripple and it will come up. So
perfect.
You can order it and either pick it up or have it shipped. Easy peasy.
Perfect. That's wonderful. Yay. So pick up your copy today. And even if you don't like romance yourself, I'm sure you know someone who enjoys romance. Maybe you just like Cuba and you can put up with the romance. You can skip those parts.
It's not trite romance, just to let you know. It's a little bit different.
There you go. There you go. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for visiting us. I would like you to come back when Cuban Wishes is out, and I hope you will.
Awesome. Yes.
And so everyone, pick up the book. Thank you, Jenny, for coming. You've been listening to Muskoka Unlimited Podcast, 88.7 FM The Bay, or online at MuskokaUnlimited.com. Thanks all, and have a great, great couple weeks. We'll hear from you again soon. Bye for now. Thank you. You've been listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay or www.MuskokaUnlimited.com. Stay tuned for more wonderful episodes on our show.